He came as the benefactor. Please give alms. Your glory is unique. You are the protector of the suffering ones. You are the gardener of the soul's garden. Please come and cut the snare of Yama. Your greatness is unique. Please give alms. Remove the disease of egoism. Show us the radiant glimpse. Make us hear the true Shabbat. Give us the alms of Nam. Show us the unique glimpse. Please give alms. No means are of any help in the paraphernalia of this world. Of what status was Ajayb? It was Kripal who gave support. Please cut our disease. Please give alms. The beggars have come to your door. Please give alms. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 215.
Hare dite darite bikari kare pavo Hare dite darite bikari kare pavo Tera darbar sacha Ove di dar sacha, mildahe pyar sacha, berahe par sacha, tera darbar sacha, ove di dar sacha, Mirda he pyar sacha, Bera he par sacha, Ao banke upekari ker pavo, Ahe jite darte bikari ker pavo, Ae jite re darte bikari ker pavo, Teri he shana nirali, Dukiya da tu he vali, Ruha de bhagadamari, Kata devo ajamajali, Teri he shana nirali, Dukiya da tu he vali, Ruha de bhagadamari, Kata devo ajamajari, Teri mehimani ari ker pavo, Ae jitere, darte bikari ker pavo, Ae jitere, darte bikari ker pavo, Home darogahatavo, Nuri jo jalika dikavo, Sacha jo shabda sunavo, Namadi ker pavo, Home darogahatavo, Nuri jo jalika dikavo, Sacha jo shabda sunavo, Namadi ker pavo, Devo jalika niyari ker pavo, Ae jitere, Dare te bi carichere pago, aegitere, dare te bi carichere pago, dunia da deca passara, chale da na coichara, Ajaibasi kona vichara dita kirpala sahara duniya da deka pasara chalada na koi chara Ajaibasi kona vichara Dita kirpala sahara sadikate dobi mari kirpavo aye jitere darte bikari kirpavo aye Darte bikari kerpavo.
The beggars have come to your door. Please give alms. I want to begin today by reading Lord Kripal's birthday message of 1961. Dear ones, I cross this day into the 67th year of my earthly pilgrimage. I am moving on to the goal of my life, just a puppet in the hands of the Almighty, my Guru. My life has been woven in this one thought, that there is no east and no west. The whole creation is the house of our Father. The various countries are so many rooms therein. The aeroplanes having annihilated all distance, all the so-called East and West are brothers and sisters and are children of the same Father. We are members of one world brotherhood, of one cosmic community. The whole creation is sustained by God, who is not a distant deity, but closer is he than anything else. The Nam, the Sat Nam, the eternal word, is immanent in every form. He is in the poor, the rich, and the outcast. We are all brothers and sisters in God. World brotherhood is the crying need of the day. True religion is the expression of divinity already existing in man. It is not rites or ceremonies, creeds or forms. It is life. It is the mingling of the soul with the great life. It is not shut up in the temples, but in love for all. Love knows service and sacrifice. There is no place where God is not. You will not find him in gorgeous temples made of marble and stone. You will find him in the tears of the poor and the lost. True happiness lies in giving to others, not in self-seeking. We should not be worshippers of the God of conventions. We should raise our moral aspirations to the highest extent and realize in our own self God, who pervades throughout the universe by transcending limitations of the senses. Try to study the book of life, our very self. Let us be careful not to confound religions with creeds and forms. We should realize that the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal And that is the underlying unity of all religions. I see the waking ones are not awake. They are asleep inside on account of the outgoing faculties. With open eyes are many blind. They have eyes and see not the light of God, which ever shines, which filleth all, in the heavens, earth, the waters, and the air, the source and strength of all that is. If thou develop the power of seeing, be one-eyed, lose the sight of the senses. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. They have ears but hear not the enchanting sweet melody of life, reverberating throughout all creation. If thou grow in power of hearing, then be deaf to the world. You will hear when thine ear is closed to the noises of the world. Thou wilt hear the music of the spheres, the flute of the Lord. If thou wouldst like to have true knowledge, transcend the sense knowledge. Enter the inner silence, and the same will become vocal. With longing in thine eyes, enter thou within from without. It is in truth the central message of every true master. In thine own house you will see him. Therefore I would request you to gaze and gaze with longing in your heart, with silence in your soul, and with no thought of this world or the next. The grace of God will descend on you, and the gaze will grow into a glimpse, and he will reveal himself to you, and you will find, nay, see him within yourself. O thou, the immaculate Nam, that illuminateth my life, and thy love overfloweth my frail physical life, may thou accept me. The mission of my life is to help others to rise above body consciousness and have a glimpse of the Lord with the grace of my Master. Those who have been put on the way should go on in all earnestness to reach their goal, and others who will be led by God to come up to me will be put on the way. With all love and best wishes to each one of you, Kripal Singh, February 6, 1961. I want to read today chapter 19 from The Stranger of Galilee, which is, of course, commentary on the Sermon on the Mount, The Treasure of the Inner Light. And this section of the sermon, Master Kripal just referred to in the message that we just read. In this chapter, I have put together a number of things that the Masters have said and other sources also. The following integral passage is the midpoint of the Sermon on the Mount, and it holds the key to how we can do it, how we can put the radical instruction the Lord Jesus is giving us into practice. And this is Matthew 6:19-23. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? This passage forces us to examine our point of view. What is it that we value? What is our treasure? Jesus is making a strong statement on behalf of the treasures of heaven, which he identifies with the inner light. And all masters have made it clear that what we amass on earth will not go with us, but how we gather it will. What we take with us is the impression of all the effects we have caused. That is what constitutes our karma, and that is what we have to work through, one way or another, either in the next life or the next several lives or in an intermediate state between lives. Contrary to the way it seems to us while we are collecting our worldly treasures, what we amass is not what counts. The masters tell us that the wealth we acquire in this life is already fixed, and that there are actually three sets of things that are predetermined: wealth or poverty, health or sickness, and pleasure or pain. Sometimes this last is listed as fame or anonymity, or ignominy, as Master Kripal says in one place. These three sets of possible destinies are part of our fate karma. What we do about them in this lifetime does not affect them, but our efforts to circumvent or change our fate karma can definitely result in our having a much better fate karma or a much worse one in our next lifetime. The main point is, as Master Kripal used to say, as you think, so you become. What we desire, we are. If a certain thing is what we want, then that is what we turn ourselves into. If we truly desire the heavenly treasure, then our lives can be defined by that. So how to do it? Throughout this sermon and throughout the writings of all the masters, we find the constant reminder to change our angle of vision, to see differently, to see from the point of view of the masters, to make their priorities our priorities. How can we do that? We can do it partly by wanting to change. We can do it partly by spending time with the master so that we can understand what his point of view is. And we can do it partly by reading and studying the master's writings. But ultimately, we can do it only by being revolutionized from within. And the key to that is in verses 22 and 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. The Greek word translated here by most modern translators as healthy is haplous. In English, that's H-A-P-L-O-U-S, which means single. And single is how it should be translated, as it is, for example, in the King James Version. It is implicit anyway, for the word I is in the singular. Hapless does have a secondary meaning of healthy, just as our word health is connected with wholeness or undividedness. But the primary meaning of hapless is single, and I reference Bauer's Greek-English lexicon, where this is stated very plainly, page 86, if anyone wants to check it out. And the fact that most modern versions do not translate it that way is an example of how translations are affected by prevailing theological considerations. The fact is that most people, including those who work on the modern translations, don't really understand the point of this verse, which is essential to any serious attempt to live up to the Sermon on the Mount. If our eye does not become single and we don't recognize the light that is within us, we are in effect rejecting that which is our own essence. Initiation gives us the chance to come into full contact with our full self. Self-knowledge precedes God-knowledge, Kripal Singh said, more often perhaps than any other single statement. It is a very existential point because it starts with our existence, with what we are. The fact of our existence is what counts. When Master says self-knowledge precedes God-knowledge, he means that what we are has to come first. Know yourself, then the knowledge of God will follow from that. If we are able to bring into full manifestation the light we were created from and that still exists within us, then anything becomes possible. This is our first job. The parallel passage in the Gospel of Luke is a little different. Your eye is the lamp of your body. If your eye is healthy or single, your whole body is full of light. But if it is not healthy or single, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, consider whether the light in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, with no part of it in darkness, it will be as full of light as when a lamp gives you light with its rays. From Luke 11:34 to 36. These verses are important because Christian thought has often maintained that Jesus was not talking about real light here, but was using the term metaphorically. But by including that last verse, St. Luke makes it clear that that's not true. We will actually see that light, which is realer than real. This is the way Master Kripal, who often quoted that verse, always understood it. The first five verses of the Gospel of John are also relevant here, because they explain why there is light within us in the first place. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Kabir has said, God first created the light. We are all children of the light. The whole creation sprang from the light. Why then dub anyone as evil? This is the same understanding as in the Gospel of John. The Word, which is the Creator, expresses itself both through sound and through light and incarnates itself as the Living Master. That Word is also present in the form of sound and light in every living being. It enlightens everybody. In Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. That light is what is available to us. It is our own essence. We can say that this is very basic Santmat teaching, but it is important to understand that this is not a new idea originated by masters of recent times. Baba Sawan Singh, Master Kripal, and Sanchi exerted great energy in pointing out that this teaching is primordial and universal. And there's a footnote, see especially, among many other references, Naam or Word by Kripal Singh. It is the means by which everything becomes possible. We are supposed to have a connection with the light. Our whole body is supposed to be full of it. That is what we are called upon to experience as initiates. It is important to be clear that this idea has also been understood within Christianity. It is true that many people, including the translators of the New Revised Standard Version of the Holy Bible that we have been quoting from, have not fully understood this verse. But in the Anchor Bible edition of Matthew, which was recently published by two leading scholars, the meaning is grasped. And this is a quote from the commentary in the volume of Matthew that I just mentioned. To lay hold of treasure in heaven, the disciple must have his inner eye healthy. The idea expressed here is that just as the body is illuminated by the eye, as though that organ were a window, so there is a spiritual eye through which the whole spirit of man is either illuminated or in darkness. And that is by W.F. Albright and C.S. Mann in their commentary on Matthew. From the very beginning, some people within the Christian church have understood this light within us to be the same light of God that has created the universe. The well-known Cistercian monk Thomas Merton discusses the hesychast system of prayer in the part of Europe, Eastern Europe, Russia, Greece, that has been influenced by Eastern Orthodoxy in connection with the principal monastery of that branch of Christianity, Mount Athos. And the hesychast system of prayer, of course, is a system which is heavily dependent on a form of Simran, using the Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, in its simplest form, although there are also longer versions, which is repeated constantly and eventually the person becomes totally united with that prayer and through it rises above. You know, the most popular book that deals with this is called The Way of a Pilgrim and is easily available and easily understandable, written by a Russian Orthodox monk in the 19th century. But the book in which this is given out in detail is called The Philokalia, which was written in Greek by two Orthodox monks of much of earlier time, using all kinds of writings from the Greek Orthodox masters, going back as far as St. Anthony of the Desert in the 3rd century, and including writings from St. Simeon, the New Theologian, and others. The Thomas Merton has a section here in his book, Disputed Questions, which I have always found enormously helpful in this whole regard. He says, Athos in the Middle Ages, which is, Mount Athos is not really a monastery, it's a community of monasteries. It's an island at the tip of the Greek peninsula, in which I think there's something like 27 monasteries of various groups of people from the various countries, Russia, Greece, and others, which follow this kind of meditation. He says, Athos in the Middle Ages was the center of a powerful mystical revival, the so-called hesychast movement. The hesychasts were contemplatives, solitaries for the most part, who followed a tradition supposed to have originated on Mount Sinai, and which later flourished in Russia. The term hesychasm has had a very bad press in the West, where it has been grossly misunderstood. St. Gregory Palamas, a monk of Athos who later became Archbishop of Salonika, was the chief defender of hesychasm in the 14th century against a Greek from Italy called Barlaam of Calabria. Barlaam, in practice, considered all mystical experience more or less illusory. At best, it was only a product of refined aesthetic fervor enkindled by symbols. St. Gregory Palamas, on the other hand, defended the thesis that the divine light, the same light that was seen by the three apostles who saw the vision of the transfigured Savior on Mount Tabor, could be experienced directly in this present life. And of course, the Master has said that Mount Tabor, that's the mountain where the three apostles saw the transfiguration of Jesus, which also included Moses and Elijah, did not happen outwardly, but was an inner thing, which has been presented outwardly. But it really refers, the Mount of Transfiguration is the third eye, the single eye. He held that this light was not a mere symbol of the divinity, but an experience of the divine energies, or the power of God. Balaam was formally defeated in the lists of theological controversy, and the Oriental Church upheld the teachings of Palamas. At this, Balaam withdrew to the west and went over to Rome, or rather to Avignon, not so much because of devotion to church unity as because he found the climate of nominalism in the west more congenial to his own mentality. Thomas Merton, Disputed Questions, pages 77 to 78. This was a very important point in the history of the Christian Church, by the way. At this point, the Catholic Church, the Church of Rome, was in a very bad place. The popes had left Rome and were in Avignon, and much of the church was very unhappy with that. During this time, there were many controversies. The spiritual Franciscans were called heretics, and they were the ones who were perhaps closest to the actual teaching of St. Francis than any others. And there was a general misunderstanding of a lot of things. This culminated a little later in the split between Rome and Avignon, in which there were two popes, and Europe was split as to which one they were following. Very bad time. So the church's rejection of Gregory Palamas and acceptance of Balaam, the Western church's rejection, has to be understood in that context. But the Eastern church did not go that way. So my comment is, unfortunately, the Western church did not accept the belief of St. Gregory Palamas that divine light could be experienced directly in the present life, which means that most of us with Catholic or Protestant backgrounds do not have this heritage, even though mystics in both Catholic and Protestant traditions have understood it. Now if, as the Bible and the Masters teach, this light which is present within us is also present in everyone else, we must not only find our own inner light, but we must also recognize that every other human being is similarly blessed. This is the reason Masters lay such stress on right understanding, which begins with the awareness that all human beings, in reality all living creatures of any kind, are created from the same light as we are, and have within themselves the same light that we have. We are supposed to enjoy our own inner light. The Masters teach that it is a thoroughly enjoyable practice to go inside, contract the attention, bring ourselves into the eye focus, and make our inner eye become single or healthy. If we do enjoy it, our chances of experiencing the fullness of light is much greater, because we will become so involved that we will forget everything else. Similarly, the joy that contact with our own inner light brings will radiate outward, and we will become aware that other people also have this light, even though they may not know it. Then we will have to respect them, to recognize them as children of God and treat them with respect. We will not be able to do otherwise. In morning talks, Kripal Singh talks about this process, this basic attitude of the disciple toward his practice. I was just speaking, Master says, about devotion, real bhakti. The first principle, the basic principle, and I would say the grandest of all, is to know that God is everywhere. We are living in Him and He is in us. We live and have our being in Him like fish in the river. The fish lives in the water. Its whole life depends on water. It lives in water. It lives on water, from whence it gets its food. This is exactly the same as the way we live in the light and on the light, from whence we get our food. Man lives not by bread alone, according to Moses and Jesus, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Master continues, when God wished, I am one, and wished to be many, the whole universe emanated, came into being. The whole world is an expression, a manifestation of God. Where is that place where He is not? We are in Him, He is in us and is our controlling power. All ensouled bodies are the drops of the ocean of all consciousness. When we know this, all is beautiful. God is beautiful, and any world made by Him, manifested by Him, is also beautiful. Beauty comes out of beauty, not from ugliness. Anything that appears to be ugly in the world is the result of the spectacles that we are wearing. If the glass of the spectacles is smoky, you will see all smoke. If it is red, everything will appear red. If it is black, everything will appear black. Well, the world is not black, red, or smoky, mind that. So we have to change the trend of our mind, of our heart. This is what we have been calling changing the point of view of angle or angle of vision. In the New Testament, we have seen that it is called metanoia, usually translated as repentance, but which literally means what Master has just said, changing the trend of our mind, of our heart. And Master continues, the first principle that we have to abide by is to know that He is everywhere. We are in Him and He is in us. When you know this, you will just pay respect to everybody. They are all manifested in the human body. When we know that He is everywhere and that He knows everything of our heart, how can we do anything that is not good but commit a sin? Masters define sin as forgetting. So how can we forget once we know this truth? And the only way we can really know that God is in everyone is to first experience that power within ourselves. Our Master used to say, when a child of 5 years is sitting by you, you will never dare to do anything which is wrong. When you have the viewpoint that He is within me, He is outside me, I am in Him, how can you perpetrate anything? Can you? This is the sum and substance, the basic principle. If you abide by it, everything will follow of itself. The world will be beautiful. Beauty comes out of beauty. If the world appears to be ugly or not beautiful, that is the result of the spectacles that you are wearing. And that's all from Morning Talks, pages 123 to 124. The Masters do present a very different point of view of the world. We live in a fallen universe, but Master Kripal is saying here that the action of grace in the fallen universe is such that by changing our angle of vision and tapping into that which is already within us, we can make it an unfallen universe. If enough people do this, it will create the spiritual revolution which the Sermon on the Mount is aiming at. If we take the light that is within us, the light that gives us joy and makes us love God, and develop it as fully as we can with the help of the Living Master, if we come to understand, really understand, that that light is not only our source, but the source of every single living being in the universe, we can effect change amounting to a revolution. This view explains many of the Master's teachings. For one thing, it explains go jolly. Why should we not go jolly? Why should we be unhappy? If we see what is really there, how can we not be happy? It explains loving our neighbor as ourself. It explains why the Masters are so strongly opposed to our thinking or doing things that will divide us. Why are they so particular about our minimizing the differences among human beings, especially among initiates, and about not focusing on negative factors that separate us? Why do they ask us to concentrate on the quality we share with every living thing, namely the light of God within us? This is what the Master does, and it is what we can do by adopting his point of view and strengthening that light within us. In this context, we should note that the phrase, "your whole body will be full of light," while not a bad translation, literally reads, "all your body will be shining." In addition to the connotation of inner light, this phrase also means that we will be affecting others. This is very important in connection with the sermon as a whole. Our body will shine. We will be lovable in other people's eyes. We have often made the point that the Master is served when we act in a way that allows other people to love us. Why? If we are connected to him and our attention is on him, the love of other people for us will go right through us to him, and he will be able to reach them. If our body is shining, if we are on fire with his love and light, it will show, and it will attract the love of others. Not that we should work openly at bringing others to the feet of the Master. It might even be better if other people don't know we're initiated, because our bodies won't shine when we are full of thoughts of ourselves. But if our body is full of light and is shining, that will attract the love of others. They may not know who they are really loving or what it is that attracts them, but we will know and he will know. Master Kripal has explained carefully that this is how it works. It goes straight through us to him, and that's an enormous help to him. In Master Kripal Singh's talk, The Coming Spiritual Revolution, which we have already examined, he quoted the section of the Sermon on the Mount we are discussing and tied it in with right understanding and how we are to apply that which is within us to that which is without. He explained how we can come to see that a world which is created from beauty is truly beautiful. Granted that it is a fallen world, granted that the outer form does not appear to be what was intended, as we know from the writings of the Masters, granted that Kal, time, the negative power, exists. Can we short-circuit all that? We have within each of us the capacity to do so, And that is a genuine revolution, which is another way of understanding that word metanoia, usually translated as repentance. Turning around is a literal revolution. Turn around, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In this talk, the Master says, so this is the first right understanding. We are living in Him, have our being in Him. He is in us, outside us, above us, below us. Like fish, we have our existence in Him. That is right understanding. And further, God made man with equal privileges, all born the same way, no high, no low. All have got the same outer concessions, eyes, ears, etc. And all have the same inner concession. We are kept in the body by some higher power, which is the same for all. So this is right understanding, that we have this thing. God resides in every heart, and that all is holy where devotion kneels. All are born with the same privileges from God. No high, no low, no east, no west. And this will result in right thoughts. Please note, because this is important and very easily misunderstood, that Master Kripal defines right understanding with the utmost specificity. This is right understanding, to know that God resides in every heart, and that all is holy where devotion kneels, and that all are born with the same privileges from God. The Master says that this threefold understanding is the beginning of everything else. Satsangis often misunderstand what the Master means, but if we take the trouble to discern his true message, we will see that this is what he wants. The whole plan for relating to other people is covered here, and naturally it implies that we must act accordingly. We are not just to tell people that God resides in every heart, and that all is holy where devotion kneels, and that all are born with the same privileges from God. We must act as though these are basic truths. We must behave toward others in the light of this understanding. Otherwise, as Master Kripal said elsewhere, the plan won't work. The revolution will not occur. Now, just as Lord Jesus did in the Sermon on the Mount, the Master becomes specific about how to contact the divine light within. Every man, every human being, has a secret chamber within himself, which is called the closet of the body. That is higher than the mind and heart both, and provides mind with understanding to a certain extent, and the heart with feelings of love. This chamber is the kingdom of God within us. This is the crest jewel, the pearl of great price. The saints, when we come in contact with them, open this chamber by withdrawing all our attention from outside. The test of a true master is the fact that in his company, the smallest realm opens up within us, and the light, divine light, the expression of the God into expression power, is seen. Christ said, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Prophet Muhammad said, the light of Allah is found where? In the human temples. Why am I quoting these things? Because right understanding was given by saints and masters coming from time to time. Lord Krishna said, I will give you divine light and you will see my glory within. Buddha said the same thing. Every man possesses the bright mirror of illumination. This all the Buddhas realized. Buddha further proclaimed that the way of the illumined ones is the growth of snowdrops behind the eyes. And then Christ came, and it was as if a few crocuses opened their hearts to the winter sky. But now the time has come when we can have a rebirth. This is what Christ spoke of when he said that the poor in spirit shall inherit the kingdom of God. So springtime is upon us now. There will be more fragrant saints, I would say now, who will come up and give us, through the grace of God, a contact with the God into expression power. And this is the revolution, the spiritual revolution which is coming up and awakening all around. And of course, that talk can be found in the book of the same name. This inner revolution will lead us to the treasures in heaven that Jesus said we are to work for. When we have changed our minds about what to store up, our hearts will be there also, and our angle of vision will begin to change so that we see more rather than less. If our body is full of light, it will give us much greater vision. We will see much, much more. And if our eye is healthy, we will be a little bit more like the Master, who can see all our faults, but loves us anyway, and forgives us totally and completely, dispelling the darkness.
My agent is Shabdir Indi. ਮੈਂ ਆਮ ਤੌਰ 'ਤੇ ਸਤਸੰਗਾਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਸੁਣਾਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ। ਮੇਰੇ ਸੁਣਾਉਣ ਦਾ ਭਾਵ ਇਤਨਾ ਹੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਇਹਦਾ ਸੰਬੰਧ ਮੇਰੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਬਹੁਤ ਜ਼ਿਆਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਆਫਨ ਦਿਸ ਸਟੋਰੀ ਇਜ਼ ਪਬਲਿਸ਼ਡ ਇਨ ਦ ਮੈਗਜ਼ੀਨ ਐਂਡ ਆਈ ਆਫਨ ਟੈਲ ਦਿਸ ਸਟੋਰੀ ਇਨ ਦ ਸਤਸੰਗ ਐਂਡ ਦੀ ਪਰਪਸ ਔਰ ਦ ਮੀਨਿੰਗ ਆਫ ਟੈਲਿੰਗ ਦਿਸ ਸਟੋਰੀ ਟੂ ਯੂ ਅਗੇਨ ਐਂਡ ਅਗੇਨ ਇਜ਼ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਦੈਰ ਇਜ਼ ਅ ਗ੍ਰੇਟ ਰੈਲੇਵੈਂਸ ਆਫ ਮਾਈ ਲਾਈਫ ਟੂ ਦਿਸ ਸਟੋਰੀ।
ਸੰਤ ਗਰੀਬ ਨਿਵਾਜ਼ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਕੋਈ ਗਰੀਬ ਬਣੇ, ਆਪਦੀ ਪਿਆਲਾ ਖਾਲੀ ਕਰੇ, ਉਹ ਭਰਨ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਤਿਆਰ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ। ਗਰੀਬੀ ਦਾ ਮਤਲਬ ਇਹ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿ ਅਸੀਂ ਧਨ ਦੌਲਤ ਜਾਂ ਕਾਰੋਬਾਰ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੂੰ ਲੁਟਾ ਦੇਣਾ ਹੈ। ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਸਭ ਕੁਛ ਦਿੱਤਾ ਹੋਵੇ, ਅਸੀਂ ਉਹਦਾ ਸਮਝ ਕੇ ਵਰਤਦੇ ਹੋਈਏ, ਇਹਦਾ ਨਾਂ ਗਰੀਬੀ ਹੈ।
ਸੇਂਟਸ ਆਰ ਮਰਸੀਫੁਲ ਵਨ ਟੂ ਦ ਸਫਰਿੰਗ ਵਨਸ। ਇਫ ਸਮਵਨ ਬਿਕਮਸ ਪੂਅਰ ਔਰ ਹੰਬਲ, ਦੇ ਆਰ ਰੈਡੀ ਟੂ ਸ਼ਾਵਰ ਦੇਅਰ ਗ੍ਰੇਸ। ਇਫ ਸਮਵਨ ਐਮਪਟੀਜ਼ ਹਿਸ ਕੱਪ and puts it in front of the master, they are always ready to fill it up. If someone becomes poor and humble, they are always ready to bless him with all the riches. To become poor doesn't mean that you have to give up all the belongings, all the things you have of this world. To become poor or humble means that if God Almighty has given you all the riches and all the things, still you use those things, understanding it as Almighty Lord's.
ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਸਦਾ ਹੀ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਨੇ, ਭੁੱਖੇ ਨੂੰ ਰੋਟੀ, ਪਿਆਸੇ ਨੂੰ ਪਾਣੀ, ਕੁਦਰਤ ਦਾ ਅਸੂਲ ਹੈ, ਜ਼ਰੂਰ ਮਿਲਦੀ ਹੈ। ਉਹ ਦਿਲਾਂ ਦੀਆਂ ਜਾਣਦੇ ਸਨ, ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੇ ਦਿਲ ਦਾ ਦਿਲ ਨੂੰ ਰਾਹ ਬਣਾ ਲਿਆ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਸਮਝ ਲਿਆ। ਉਹ ਦੇਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ 25 ਸਾਲ ਹੋਕਾ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਰਹੇ ਭਈ ਦੇਣੇ ਵਾਲੇ ਦਾ ਕੀ ਕਸੂਰ ਹੈ, ਸਵਾਲ ਤਾਂ ਲੈਣ ਵਾਲੇ ਦਾ ਹੈ। ਪਿਆਰਿਓ, ਅੱਜ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਰਾਜਸਥਾਨ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੋ, ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਨਹਿਰਾਂ ਵੀ ਮਿਲਦੀਆਂ ਹਨ, ਸੜਕਾਂ ਵੀ ਮਿਲਦੀਆਂ ਹਨ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਦਿਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਰੇਗਿਸਤਾਨ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਪੈਂਡਾ ਮਾਰ ਕੇ ਗਏ ਸੀਗੇ, ਉਸ ਦਿਨ ਕੋਈ ਐਸੀ ਸਹੂਲਤ ਨਹੀਂ ਸੀ, ਪਾਣੀ ਦੀ ਵੀ ਬੜੀ ਕਿੱਲਤ ਸੀਗੀ। ਸੋ ਮੈਂ ਦੱਸਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਨਾ ਤਾਂ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਕੋਈ ਵਡਿਆਈ ਕਰਨ ਵਾਲਾ ਮਿਲਿਆ ਮੇਰੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ, ਨਾ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਕੋਈ ਨਿੰਦਿਆ ਕਰਨ ਵਾਲਾ ਮਿਲਿਆ। ਇਹ ਹੁਣ ਉਹ ਹੀ ਜਾਣੇ ਕਿ ਕਿਹਦੇ ਦਿਲ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਪਿਆਸ ਹੈ, ਕਿਵੇਂ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਉਹ ਪਿਆਸ ਬੁਝਾਉਣੀ ਹੈ। ਉਹ ਖੁਦ ਹੀ ਆਪਣੀ ਦਇਆ ਮਿਹਰ ਕਰਕੇ ਇਸ ਗਰੀਬ ਆਤਮਾ ਕੋਲ ਗਿਆ, ਇਸ ਗਰੀਬ ਆਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਨਾਮ ਦਾ ਅੰਮ੍ਰਿਤ ਦੇ ਕੇ ਇਸ ਤਪਦੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਠਾਰਿਆ। ਇੱਥੋਂ ਅੰਦਾਜ਼ਾ ਲਾ ਸਕਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਸਾਡੇ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਕਿੰਨੇ ਕੁ ਅੰਤਰਜਾਮੀ ਸਨ, ਕੀ ਉਹ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਆਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਦੇਣਾ ਚਾਹੁੰਦੇ ਸਨ।
Hazur Maharaj Kripal used to say that there is food for hungry and water for thirsty, and it is the law of nature, and the nature provides food for hungry and water for thirsty. He knew what was in the heart of the people, and the heart talks to the heart. For 25 years of his life, Master Kripal always used to say that the one who has come to give has no problem, and he only gives. All the problems are with those who receive. So he knew about the hearts of the people, and he knew what the desires were in those hearts, and according to their receptivity, according to their desires and yearning, he fulfilled everyone's desire and he fulfilled everyone's yearning. Nowadays, in the present time, when you people go to Rajasthan, over there you find good roads, you find the canals, there is a lot of greenery there. But in the time when beloved Lord Kripal traveled to Rajasthan, it was not like that. It was very dry, it was a desert, and the roads were not so good, and it was not very easy to travel in Rajasthan. So at that time, when it was very difficult to travel, Hazur Maharaj himself showered his grace upon me, and he himself went there to quench the thirst of this poor soul who was suffering and who was being heated up. He went there and he showered the rain of Naam upon this soul, because he knew that who is suffering for him, who is waiting for him, because he knew about our hearts. So the meaning of saying all this is for you to understand that how much all-conscious our beloved Lord Kripal was, and how he knew that who is sitting in his remembrance for him, and how he went to the places to quench the thirst of the dear ones.
Bachpane to hi atma andar tadp si ke mera kuch guachya hoya hai ki mainu wo milega isse tadp andar hi ਹਿੰਦੁਸਤਾਨ ਦੇ ਕਾਫੀ ਮਠਾਂ 'ਚ ਜਾਣ ਦਾ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਮੌਕਾ ਮਿਲਿਆ, ਬਹੁਤ ਸਾਰੇ ਸਾਧੂਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਮਿਲਣ ਦਾ ਮੌਕਾ ਮਿਲਿਆ। ਲੇਕਿਨ ਮੈਂ ਇਹ ਵੀ ਦੱਸਦਾ ਹੋਇਆ, ਮੈਂ ਕਿਸੇ 'ਤੇ ਭਾਉ ਨਹੀਂ ਲਿਆਇਆ, ਕਿਸੇ ਦੀ ਨਿੰਦਿਆ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰੀ। ਜਿੰਨਾ ਕੁ ਕਿਸੇ ਕੋਲ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਸੀਗਾ ਉਹ ਦੇਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਵੀ ਤਿਆਰ ਸੀਗਾ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਜਿਸ ਚੀਜ਼ ਦੀ, ਜਿਸ ਵਸਤੂ ਦੀ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਭੁੱਖ ਸੀ ਉਹ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਨਾ ਮਿਲੀ। ਅਖੀਰ ਮਿਲਾਪ ਬਾਬਾ ਬਿਸ਼ਨ ਦਾਸ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋਇਆ। ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਕੁਛ ਆਸ ਬਣਾਈ, ਪਰ ਉਹ ਕਰੜੇ ਬੜੇ ਸਨ, ਮਜ਼ਬੂਤ ਬੜੇ ਸਨ। ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਦੋ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦਾ ਭੇਦ ਦੇ ਕੇ 18 ਸਾਲ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਪ੍ਰਗਟੀਕਲ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਲੱਗਿਆ। ਮੈਂ ਦੱਸਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ, ਸੰਤ ਮਤ ਦੇ ਪਹਿਲੇ ਵਿਆਸ ਹੀ ਮੁਸ਼ਕਲ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ। ਜਦ ਅੰਦਰ ਰਸਤਾ ਚੱਲ ਪੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਫਿਰ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਮੁਸ਼ਕਲ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਗਏ।
ਸਿੰਸ ਮਾਈ ਚਾਈਲਡਹੁੱਡ ਆਈ ਹੈਡ ਦਿਸ ਫੀਲਿੰਗ ਦੈਟ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਲੋਸਟ ਸਮਥਿੰਗ, ਐਂਡ ਇਨ ਆਰਡਰ ਟੂ ਸਰਚ ਫੋਰ ਦੈਟ ਲੋਸਟ ਥਿੰਗ ਵਿਚ ਆਈ ਡਿਡ ਨੋਟ ਨੋ ਵਾਟ ਇਟ ਵਾਸ, I went to many places. I went to all the temples and the holy places in India, and wherever I went and whatever the people over there had to offer to me, they offered, but I could not quench my thirst. And if I did not get what I was looking for from those places, I did not come back with the bad feelings or less faith in them. I always came back with good wishes. Finally, when after searching a lot, I came in contact with Baba Bishan Das. It was his grace which brought me into his contact. He gave me the initiation into the first two names. He was very strict and very strong, and it was very hard to get the initiation from him, but he was very gracious and he gave me the initiation into the first two names, and he made me do the meditation on those two names for 18 years, and he made me practically successful in that. Often I have said, dear ones, that the early meditation of the Sant Mat are very difficult to do, but once you start going within, then the later practices or the later meditation is not that difficult.
Mainu koi Maharaj Kripal Singh achanak nahi mile si, khud unna ne aapde pyare kai premi bheje san ki aaj ghar vich rahen, main aa rahya hain. Hun tusi andaaza la sakde ho ਕਿ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਕਿੰਨੀ ਅੰਤਰਜਾਮਤਾ ਸੀ, ਕਿੰਨਾ ਉਹ ਦੋਨੇ ਹੱਥੀਂ ਦਾਤ ਲਟਾਉਂਦੇ ਰਹੇ ਔਰ ਲਟਾਉਣਾ ਚਾਹੁੰਦੇ ਸਨ।
ਆਈ ਡਿਡ ਨਾਟ ਮੀਟ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਜਸਟ ਬਾਈ ਚਾਂਸ, ਹੀ ਹਿਮਸੈਲਫ ਹੈਡ ਸੈਂਡ ਮੀ ਹਿਸ ਡੀਅਰ ਵਨ ਵਿਦ ਦ ਮੈਸੇਜ ਦੈਟ ਆਸਕ ਹਿਮ ਟੂ ਸਟੇ ਐਟ ਹੋਮ, ਆਈ ਐਮ ਕਮਿੰਗ, ਐਂਡ ਹੀ ਹਿਮਸੈਲਫ ਕੇਮ। ਸੋ ਯੂ ਕੈਨ ਵੈਰੀ ਵੈਲ ਇਮੈਜਿਨ ਦੈਟ ਹਾਊ ਮਚ ਆਲ ਕੌਨਸ਼ੀਅਸ ਹੀ ਵਾਸ, ਹਾਊ ਮਚ ਗ੍ਰੇਸ਼ੀਅਸ ਹੀ ਵਾਸ, ਐਂਡ ਵਿਦ ਬੋਥ ਹਿਸ ਹੈਂਡਸ ਹਾਊ ਮਚ ਗ੍ਰੇਸ ਹੀ ਵਾਂਟਿਡ ਟੂ ਸ਼ਾਵਰ ਅਪੋਨ ਮੀ।
ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਨੇ ਕੋਈ ਦੁਨੀਆਦਾਰੀ ਦੀ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਗੱਲ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰੀ, ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਇਹ ਹੀ ਪੁੱਛਿਆ ਕਿ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਦਾ ਕੀ ਹਾਲ ਹੈ। ਤਾਂ ਦਿਲ ਗਦਗਦ ਹੋ ਗਿਆ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ 'ਚ ਪਹਿਲਾ ਮੌਕਾ ਹੈ ਕੋਈ ਪੁੱਛਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਆਇਆ ਕਿ ਤੇਰੇ ਭਜਨ ਦਾ ਕੀ ਹਾਲ ਹੈ.
When Lord Kripal went there, he did not talk about any worldly thing. The very first thing he asked me was, how is your meditation? Hearing that question, I felt very overwhelmed and I was very moved, because that was the first opportunity in my whole life that someone had come to me and asked me how I was in my meditation.
ਮੈਨੂੰ ਆਮ ਕਵਿਤਾ ਬੋਲਣ ਦੀ ਕਾਫੀ ਬਚਪਨ ਤੋਂ ਆਦਤ ਸੀਗੀ, ਤੋ ਮੈਂ ਦੱਸਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ. ਮੈਂ ਬੜਾ ਖੁਸ਼ ਹੋ ਕੇ ਬੋਲਿਆ, ਲੋਕ ਤੁਕਾਂ ਆਏ ਲੱਖਾਂ ਹੀ ਪ੍ਰਾਹੁਣੇ, ਪਰ ਐਸਾ ਕੋਈ ਆਇਆ ਨਾ, ਆਪੋ ਆਪ ਸਭ ਦੱਸੀ ਕਿਸੇ ਭਜਨ ਕਰਾਇਆ ਨਾ, ਗਾਉਂਦੇ ਤੁਰਗ ਆਪਦੇ ਗਾਉਣੇ, ਭਾਗ ਜਾਗੇ ਸਾਡੇ ਵੀਰ ਨੂੰ, ਸਾਡੇ ਆਏ ਨੇ ਸੰਤ ਪ੍ਰਾਹੁਣੇ.
I had this habit of doing the poetry since my childhood. So when beloved Lord asked me that question about my meditation, I said this in the form of the poetry. I said that hundreds of thousands of people came to me and they all sang their own songs, but no one made me do the meditation, no one cared about my meditation. But today I am very fortunate one. Blessed is the day, today I have such a guest in my home, and my fortune, my fate has been awakened that such a guest has come who has cared for my meditation.
To thode age Guru Ramdas ji Maharaj da chota jeha shabd rakhya janda hai, aap vi bade pyar naal dasde hai ki jivein raje peepe de age man di rukawat bani si, lok laaj khadi karti si, hathaan vich aaya oh amrit na pee sakya, aakhir badi kardi mehnat naamdan prapt karke karni payi. ਸੋ ਇਹੀ ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਜੀ ਆਪਦਾ ਤਜਰਬਾ ਬਿਆਨ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਸਾਡੇ ਔਰ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਦਰਮਿਆਨ ਅਗਰ ਕੋਈ ਰੁਕਾਵਟ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਸਾਡਾ ਮਨ ਹੈ, ਅਗਰ ਕੋਈ ਸਾਡਾ ਦੁਸ਼ਮਣ ਹੈ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਉਹ ਸਾਡਾ ਮਨ ਹੈ. ਅਸੀਂ ਆਤਮਾ ਕਰਕੇ ਸਾਰੇ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਬੱਚੇ ਹੈ, ਸਾਰੇ ਭੈਣ ਭਰਾ ਹੈ. ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਸਾਡਾ ਕੋਈ ਦੁਸ਼ਮਣ ਨਹੀਂ ਗਾ, ਦੁਸ਼ਮਣ ਤਾਂ ਸਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰੇ ਹੀ ਬੈਠਾ ਹੈ.
So a very brief hymn of Guru Ramdas ji is presented to you. He says that just like King Pipa had to struggle with his mind, and only because of his mind he could not drink the nectar even though it was offered to him by Guru Ravidas. And since he could not take advantage of the nectar which was offered to him, afterwards he had to take the initiation and work very hard to achieve what he could have easily achieved by drinking the nectar when Guru Ravidas had offered to him. It was only because of the obstacle of his mind that he was not able to take advantage of the grace of Guru Ravidas. So like that, Guru Ramdas ji Maharaj here says that if there is anything, any enemy of ours, it is our mind. If there is any obstacle or any wall between us and God Almighty, that is the wall of our mind.
Our closing bhajan is on page 51, Shah Kripal Pyariya. Beloved Shah Kripal, wait a moment. We are weeping over our fate. Listen to our sorrowful matter, O Lord. Listen to our sorrowful matter. The Beautiful One is present within all, but no one has known His secret. We have kept You in our heart. Give us Your strength. Even gods and goddesses want You. Even the moon and sun feel embarrassed before You. Beloved of Shah Sawan, do not forget us even for a moment. The Emperor is the treasurer of the true Nam. You are the giver, we are the beggars. We have lost our heart making requests. Remove the pain of separation. This soul without honor makes this request, as Your abode is in Sachkhand. Beloved, give us Your radiant darshan now. Don't delay it even for a moment. This world is a whirlwind. We have relied only on You. Oh, support of Ajayb, don't leave my sight even for a moment. Beloved Shah Kripal, wait a moment. We are weeping over our fate. Listen to our sorrowful matter, O Lord. Listen to our sorrowful matter. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 51.
Shah Kripal Pyariya At Kazrai Kapal Javi Asironde Hare Nasibanu Sari Sunadarda Di Galajavi O Sai Sunadarda Di Galajavi Shakir Pala Piyariya Atakazarai Kapalajavi Asironde Hare Nasivanu Sadisunadarda Di Galajavi O Sai Sunadarda Di Galajavi Sona Gata Gata Vicha Samaya He Na Beda Kise Ne Paya He Sona Gata Gata Vicha Samaya He Na beda kise ne paya hai Tenu dila apne vicha palia Sanu denda apna balajavi O sai sunadarda di galajavi Shakir pala piyariya Atakazarai kapale javi Asironde kare nasibanu Sari sunadarda di gale javi O Sai Sunadarda Di Galajavi Tenu Devi Devate Chondene Jana Suraja Bisharamondene Tenu Devi Devate Chondene Jana Suraja Bisharamondene Shasawan Dea Piyariya Sanu Visarazara Na Palajavi O Sai Sunadarda Di Galajavi Shakir pala piyariya Atakazarai kapala javi Asironde kare nasivanu Sari sunadarda di gale javi O Sai Sunadarda Di Galajavi Sache Namada Sha Pandari He Tu Data Asi Bikahari He Sache Namada Sha Pandari He Tu data asi bighari he Dila arja kara kara haria Vichore vala salatavi
O sai sunadarda di galajavi Shakir pala piyariya Atakazarai kapala javi Asironde hare nasibanyu Zari sunadarda di gala javi O Sai Sunadarda Di Galajavi
Kare Arja Ijiva Namana E Tere Sakya Kanda Vicha Dikana E
Kare Arja Ijiva namana e tere sachikanda vicha tikana e
nuri darshan deja piyariya una dera zarana palalavi
O sai sunadaridadi galajavi Shakir pala piyariya Atikazarai kapala javi Asironde hare nasibanyu Sari sunidare dadi galejavi O sai sunidare dadi galejavi
E dunia kumana gerie Asi asaraki ikaterie E dunia gumana gerie Asi asaraki ikaterie Ajaiva dea saharia Ankiya topalana talajavi
O sai sunadaradadi galajavi Shakir pala piyariya Atakazara ikapalajavi Asironde kare nasibanyu Sari sunadare dadi galajavi O sai sunadare dadi galajavi
Beloved Shakupal, wait a moment. We are weeping over our fate. Listen to our sorrowful matter, O Lord. Listen to our sorrowful matter. May God bless us all.